Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? You're Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up. On 95.7, the game. Warriors Wrap-Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center, where the Warriors lost for the 13th time in the last 14 games. The Pacers beat the Dubs tonight 129-118. It was a game where the three-point shot returned for the Warriors. 19 three-pointers made. I would not have bet that the Warriors would have outshot the Pacers from three-point range in this game, but the Pacers still wound up 17 for 28 overall, and it was a night that left you kind of wondering, Whitey, where has the Warriors' defense gone? I know it's been hit or miss at different junctures of this season. The Warriors have at times played very, very good defense, but the last couple of games now, the defense has completely left them once again, and they give up 129 to Indiana, and it sends them to 10-37.
With the Super Bowl coming up, we're hearing again that old cliche, defense wins championships, right? If that's true, then neither one of these teams was in championship form this evening. That said, it was a very entertaining game. And I'll tell you who the most entertaining player for the Warriors was tonight without question. He had a 16-point third quarter. D'Angelo Russell finished with 37, hit 9 of 13 threes. And when he's on, he's able to hit shots on one leg, falling back. I thought it was interesting that after the 16-point third quarter, D'Angelo Russell, by my count, he only attempted two field goals in the fourth quarter, and he had a chance at 40 with, let's see, late in the game, 1:23 to go. D'Angelo Russell sitting there on 37, right? And he goes up for three, and he gets fouled. It's no good, but he's going to the line for three free throws. But the Pacers challenge, win the challenge, and D'Angelo Russell does not get his three free throws, and he ends up with still a very impressive 37-point game.
All in all, 13 of 21, 9 for 13 from three, the 37 points you mentioned. It was a good night for D'Angelo Russell, but all in all, on a night where the Warriors are dealing with another adjustment to their rotation with the pending trade of Willie Cauley-Stein to the Dallas Mavericks for a 2020 second round draft pick. Now, that's Utah's pick. We should clarify that as part of the deal, Whitey. So that's a pick that's going to be anywhere, let's say, between 50 and 60, maybe 53 and 60 or so, given where Utah is currently in the standings. But Willie Cauley-Stein gone, that opened up time for Marquese Chriss to step in as the starting center. Marquese Chriss, I thought, had a decent night. 5 for 5, knocked down a three, 13 points. And it's basically him and Amari Spellman, for the time being, playing the entire bulk of the center minutes.
Yeah, and Spellman had 9 points, hit 2 of 3 three-pointers. Willie Cauley-Stein, I think you could argue, and of course this is a trade that they wanted to make and that they should have made, I think you could argue that maybe they missed him a little bit defensively tonight. He has played pretty good defense at times. I don't think it would have made much of a difference. To your point about what the Warriors got back for Willie Cauley-Stein, I was hoping that they were going to end up with their own pick back. Dallas has had a couple of second-round picks, including what had been the Warriors, because that obviously would be a very good pick. The Warriors' second-round pick this year, which Dallas now owns, is
31, 32.
But that was probably too much to expect to get back for Willie Cauley-Stein. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Tonight, Marquese Chriss had a very, very good game. And as far as the Warriors' issues tonight, for what that's worth in this season, this gap year, They shot very well. So how do you shoot the ball as well as they did and still come up short? Well, we mentioned that they didn't defend well, but also they turned the ball over 20 times tonight.
20 times, and it led to 33 points for the Pacers. So the Pacers knocked down 17 threes that we mentioned, but 33 points off the 20 turnovers, and that winds up being a big difference in this one as Indiana wins it 129-118. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason here. It is Warriors Wrap-Up. We're brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. Warriors now 10-37, and the Warriors for a good portion of the season, Whitey, had played many more road games than home games. Tonight, the first time, I believe, since opening night that the Warriors have played more home games than road games.
Oh, really?
For their total on the season. The Warriors fall to 7-17 here at Chase Center.
So they haven't really established a home court advantage in the new building yet. Is that fair to say?
They have not, but now they're going on the road again also is what I'm trying to say. 7-17 here, 3-20 on the road, and they are going to take on a couple of the top teams in the Eastern Conference here, and then some teams near the bottom of the Eastern Conference as well on the back end of that five-game trip. But the next two, it's not going to get any easier for the Dubs, who have already lost 13 of 14.
Yeah, we were sitting behind an advanced scout for the Celtics tonight. Got the Celtics, got the Sixers coming up, and the Warriors are not back here till February 8th when LeBron invades.
LeBron on an ABC Saturday night showcase game, one of a couple. I know the Warriors do have a couple of the Saturday night showcase games between now and the end of the season, and you can't flex out of those. So those are sticking around. The one on February the 8th, as I look, they do have one on March the 7th in this building against the Philadelphia 76ers. They also go to Milwaukee the following week on March the 14th. And then the Warriors have the Thunder here as well on March the 28th. So a couple of big games that are going to be ABC Showcase games for the Warriors between now and the end of the year. So maybe Stephen Curry at some point is back for a couple of those once you start to get into March.
Well, I want to give you credit, not that you need me to give you credit, but when Dwight Powell got injured this week for the Mavs, you texted me right away and said, hey, Dallas, maybe now they're going to be interested in Willie Cauley-Stein. And we know the trade is agreed upon. It hasn't actually happened yet, right?
No, it hasn't.
But it's agreed upon. So I was just going to ask you, and I know you talked with Jim about it, what did you think of what the Warriors got back here and the other added benefits as far as an open roster spot?
Yeah, I think it benefits a couple of different ways. I think mostly it's getting out from under the possibility that Willie Cauley-Stein could opt in for next season. Now, it does free up a roster spot to where if the Warriors wanted to, they could have Kai Bowman and Marquese Chris both be signed for the remainder of the year to NBA contracts, both now on two-way deals, and Kai Bowman is at his limit. So if the Warriors are going to have him come back before the G League season is over, he's going to have to be signed to a contract for the remainder of the season. The Warriors now could add both. It also gives him some days under the hard cap as well, more days under the hard cap, which helps them financially. It helps them get closer under the tax.
Yeah, they sink below the hard cap by $2.57 million.
And it also creates, I was reading, I believe, Bobby Marks of ESPN, the former general manager of the Nets, it also, this trade will create another trade exception because the Warriors are sending money out and not taking any money back. So the Warriors, it will be about a $2.2 million trade exception. So not a large one, but that is somebody Warriors could take on another minimum-level contract player for nothing, essentially.
How do you think Willie Cauley-Stein's going to help Dallas? I can see how he's going to help in the pick and roll. We talked about this already this week. He's not as physical as Dwight Powell, but I think there's a chance that he's going to be able to do some nice things with Luka, especially in the pick and roll.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I could see Dallas. I think the reason I thought that immediately, and look, I think earlier in the week, maybe on Monday, you know, I kind of said at the end of the show against Portland, it's like, boy, I don't know who's really going to be interested in Willie Cauley-Stein. But with the injury to Powell, I thought, you know what? The Mavs are the kind of a team that I think they would look at Cauley-Stein's talent and what he can do. And I would think that they would believe that they're an organization, and in particular coaching staff with Rick Carlisle, that would look at him and think, plug and play, we can make him better, we can help him improve. Maybe in ways that, you know, the Warriors couldn't, based on the fact that they are in the position that they're in. I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot. Willie Cauley-Stein came to the Warriors believing that he was going to play with some higher-level talent, I think, and that was going to enhance his game. And because of the circumstances, that hasn't worked out. I think Dallas looks at Cauley-Stein as, you know what? You know, we can fix that guy. We can make that guy work for us.
Or maybe he's finally going to be in a team that accepts him for what he is and isn't thinking, hey, we can make him this or that. Maybe Dallas is going to be in a situation here where they realize he's coming off the bench. As long as he's the Willie Cauley-Stein that you see most nights, we're going to be okay with that. I think the Warriors ultimately were a little underwhelmed by Willie Cauley-Stein. Yeah. They hoped he'd improve at least a little bit. He actually performed, I think, under what he had in Sacramento a little bit.
Agreed.
He had some good nights, but overall, the Willie Cauley-Stein experiment was not a happy one here for either Willie Cauley-Stein or the Warriors.
And it was, you know, it was worth a look, and it didn't work out, and you could move on from it. And I think that's the nature of, you know, it wound up being relatively easy to move on from it. Nothing that was going to cripple the Warriors.
Maybe now he's going, well, almost certainly now he's headed to the playoffs.
Yeah,
good for him.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as he met with the media downstairs here at the Chase Center in the Bill King interview room. And Steve Kerr was asked initially about Eric Paschal and Draymond Green.
You played Eric and Draymond together probably the most that you have. And I assume some of that's because Willie's not here. But do you want to see that more? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something we'll look at a little bit more as we go down the second part of the season. You know, Eric is strong enough to handle a lot of fours and fives, you know, bigger fours and fives in the league defensively. So he needs to get some experience there too.
You guys are outscored in the paint a lot tonight. How do you, you know, Willie out of the lineup now or out of, off the team now, how do you combat against that with your young front line?
Well, you know, the Marquise and Omari will get some experience there. Draymond will play some center, and then it's a matter of helping, you know, help defense. We've got to have all five guys on a string, and we got to communicate. And Sabonis puts a lot of pressure on you. He's really good dive man off the pick and roll. You know, he sets a good hard screen and then he rolls and he's got good hands in the paint. So he's a handful in there and did a good job tonight.
Do you plan on bringing Smiley Geach up as an extra body going forward? Or
possibly. I still think it's more valuable for him to play big minutes in Santa Cruz rather than playing shorter minutes here. But for sure he'll be up here for more games at some point during the rest of the season.
Hey, Steve, you were talking about the other night how it was discouraging to lose by such a huge margin. You guys were pretty much in this game throughout. Did that give you any feelings of encouragement that, you know, you're starting to make some strides forward here?
Well, I liked the second half a lot more than I liked the first. I thought we hung tough in the second half. But, you know, you just look at that first half. I think we were outscored 18-4 off of turnovers. And for the game, it's 33-11. We turned it over 20 times to their 12. And so our transition defense was bad, and our turnovers got us into trouble. So tough to win a game against a good team when you're doing that. So that was most disappointing to me. Just, you know, to win a game in the league is difficult. And you got to be solid with all the fundamentals, and that's why we teach them every day. And you got to compete the whole way through. I thought the first half we got really, really loose, and second half was much better.
Steve, what did you make of D'Angelo's performance tonight? He tied his career high in three pointers made. What does he bring to the squad when, you know, there's adversity and you're actually in a game and he can actually bring you over the top.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible shooter from long range and lethal on that high screen. And obviously got going there, especially in the third quarter when we made that push. So he's capable of that, as he's shown many times this year. And did a great job helping getting us back in the game.
What did you make of Marquise Chris's start tonight, 5 for 5, 13 points?
Marquise was good tonight. Every night's a learning experience for him, and he's going to be a guy who shoots a high percentage from the field because of his athleticism. He's got good hands. He finishes well around the basket. So he's coming along well. He's gonna get more experience now too going forward. So we're just gonna keep working with him and I know he's going to work hard. We like his work ethic, his character. He's a great young guy and who wants to get better. So we're going to try to help him do that.
All right. So Marquise Chris, one of the bright spots for the Warriors tonight, and you did see a little bit of Pascal and Draymond Green at the 4 and the 5, respectively, which I want to see more of. I don't like them at the 3 and the 4 together. I do like the idea, and I've said this, of them maybe playing the 4 and the 5 more, and there may be opportunities to do it now with Chris and Spellman really being the only centers on the roster right now, and I think you could make a case that neither one of them are true centers. I also want to see more Smiley Geach. Get him back here.
Yeah, well, we'll see him a little bit, right? Pascal was not doing much his first 17 minutes. He was 0 for 1, but he finished tonight with a decent line. He had 9 points and 7 rebounds. So he got going a little bit, hit 3 of his 4 free throws. Thought it was also interesting. Steve Kerr talked about Marquise Chris. Marquise Chris was involved in one of the odder plays you will see in an NBA game where it appeared that he, on a putback, it looked like he scored. Most fans thought he scored. It looked like the opposition thought he scored, but the ball didn't go in.
And
he knew the ball didn't go in,
so he grabbed it, and then he heard the announcement, and everybody reacting like the ball went in, so he just handed the ball to the Pacers.
You're going
to
give it to me? Yeah, very, very odd play tonight.
Yeah, it really, really was. Warriors wind up losing 129-118 as they have dropped to 13 of 14, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We'll continue here from Chase Center on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason back here inside Chase Center, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors now 10-37 as the Pacers beat the Dubs 129-118. Warriors on the road now for the next 5 with stops in Philadelphia and Boston and Cleveland and Washington and Brooklyn before the next Warriors home game, which is going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow on Saturday, February the 8th. So the Warriors struggling throughout the course of January, to say the least.
Yeah, speaking of LeBron and primetime Saturday games, tomorrow he's playing in Philly, right, in a primetime Saturday game, and he has a chance to surpass Kobe Bryant on the all-time scoring list.
Yeah, good stuff. I think
in Kobe's hometown.
Right, and I think, you know, the NBA, for all the issues with the ratings, and I know we've talked a lot about it, Zion playing again tonight, and it's restriction, and the Pelicans losing again. But I think, you know, any night you can get everything aligned like that is probably a good one. And a couple of teams that could meet later on down the line, although I think Philly is relatively flawed compared to maybe a couple of the other teams they may face in a playoff series.
Yeah, the NBA player that I saw the most on ESPN today, though, was Andre Iguodala. He was everywhere.
Yeah, he was on First Take.
He was
morning.
On the jump as
on
well,
the
I
jump,
believe. Yeah,
as well. A little in season. It's such a remarkable year. I mean, I can't remember a player that in season, under contract, not playing for the team. No, everybody's cool with it, and he's just doing his own media tour during the season. And I, the one thing that I had thought was, Well, hey, you know, it's getting to be that time. We talked about this earlier with Jim on Warriors Live. It's getting to be that time where, you know, he almost for him to reemerge a little bit and let everybody know, hey, I'm still around. Come trade for me.
Right. I heard him today on The Jump saying that he's been working out and he's getting ready. It's been great to have this year off, but I don't know if he was suggesting that he'll be ready to go next year or if he was hinting that he'll be ready to go for the playoffs.
Well, let's go ahead and actually hear that cut that
yes.
you're talking about. Iguodala on what the heck he's been up to and how he's feeling.
It's been a blessing in disguise in terms of having his time off. Mm-hmm. And I think it's added some years to my career. Hmm. Just waking up in the morning and you don't have that normal pain. When you wake up in the morning in January, the last 16 years, and you're looking for the pain, like, oh, there it is. And then you don't have that. So it's kind of been good. So I've been on the court. I'm in shape. I'm kind of slim, so I can use like 3.5 pounds of muscle.
Okay.
Take me a couple of days to put that on, but I'm ready to get back on the court. So it was good to get that little break.
That little break? Like, you told them you didn't want to
right.
show up.
Right. Blessing in disguise. I mean, someone gets hurt like Steph. Oh, it's a blessing in disguise. It looks bad, but you can recover. But he doesn't want to play. He's deciding not to
but
play.
But now he wants to play.
Yeah, so and I don't know if blessing in disguise is the most appropriate phrase here.
I'm going to be honest here, Whitey, as I typically like to be. That rubs me the wrong way. The whole Iguodala thing this year, and look, the Warriors don't have anything to do with it. They traded him to Minnesota, and you know Bob Myers and the Warriors, they ended up – he got the third year, $16 million, you know, that $16.5 million, and I just don't – I don't like the way that any of that has played out, where he said, yeah, I'm not really feeling being there. Initially, they were going to make him report, and then they worked something out to where he didn't have to report, and that's fine. I guess the Grizzlies, everybody's on board with it. But I just, to me, you go, you show up, you put the uniform on, because the Grizzlies did want him initially to
yeah.
help mentor their young players, and he just said, uh-uh.
It sets a dangerous precedent for the league, and he's obviously he has a right to do what he's doing. But it also, you have to wonder how Memphis went ahead with that without getting any assurances that he would show up and play for them. It's not their fault, but on the other hand, perhaps they should have made sure before they made that deal that he actually was going to make himself available to them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I mean, to me, it's implied that you're going to show up and you're going to play. Now, maybe you're going to get bought out at some point or traded at some point. But to me, like when that move was made and that trade was consummated, I thought, okay, well, he's going to have to show up and play. And that maybe he's not going to play a lot of minutes, but he's going to have to be around the team and in uniform and on the trips.
Well,
I mean, and he's fortunate that it's worked out, and you know, he's fortunate that. He didn't go to a team that said, you know what, show up, or we're going to start finding you. You know, show up, or this is going to be an issue, because I think there are teams out there that would have done that, and I know you heard whispers that, you know, Iguodala is so highly thought of in the players' union that, you know, in essence, the Grizzlies didn't want to mess with him on this because it's something that they feared ramifications.
Sure seems from, that there's
from
more to
other,
the story.
Other players that he, in essence, would say, yeah, the Grizzlies don't do it right. Don't go there.
Well, in October, Mark Stein had reported in the New York Times, consider him, Iguodala, quote, consider him a virtual lock to return to the Warriors to finish his career. That seems like his end game, right? He's at the 49er games. He's hanging out with Clay. So I'd be at least a little bit surprised if he's not back with the Warriors next year.
I think he's going to wind up back.
I do too.
And everybody's and we're all just going to yuck it up and laugh about his year that he, you know, got paid $16 million and didn't have to do much. just was out playing golf and at the Niner game and doing a media tour in the middle of January. But hey, if anybody could get away with it, it's Andre Iguodala. So I guess you tip your cap to him in some sense, but it also is this league. In 2020, and you know, I had my little this league rant the other night about Zion Williamson, and you know, he's electrifying.
Those minutes restriction,
electrifying the country on national television, and because he can't play more than 18 minutes, he's subbed out. His team loses, and everybody, the consumer, in a lot of ways loses. So
Okay, so if
a couple
you're
of those things rub me the wrong way there. I know Iguodala's a good guy, and everybody loves him here, and he's a great teammate, and the Warriors would certainly want to have him back. But
So what do you do if you're Memphis? Now, we understand the situation. I'm not going to say it is what it is because that's the dumbest phrase in the history of the English language. Every single thing is what it is. There's nothing that is what it isn't. But anyway, we know the situation.
So I would have fined him. I would have made him show up. And if
but how about now? Do you release him? Do you, you're going to threaten him with fines? I mean, are you still trying to get something for him
so he can
help somebody during the stretch run and you can get something back for him?
At this point, I mean, they've already agreed that they're cool with him not being there. So you can't go – you can't go back.
But the deadline's still approaching.
But the deadline is still approaching. Well, it's going to have to be a buyout. It's going to be a buyout or he doesn't go anywhere. I actually think that Iguodala is perfectly comfortable not playing this year. It also sounds as if maybe he's trying to steer his way to L.A., if he's going to go anywhere to finish up the season to maybe make a playoff run. But it sure seems like, and I do think he was angling to want to play in the cut that we played from the jump there. But I also think it's a scenario where he's $16.5 million to take a year off?
Yeah. Now, I know that...
And he was talking about adding years to his career.
Right.
So we're talking about this gap year with the Warriors and sabbatical year and all that. Well, he got a $16.5 million paid sabbatical year.
CC sabbatical, sure. I know that Iguodala and Burks are not the same player, but I think when you look to Burks in a potential role next year, I think that's one of the considerations the Warriors have to make is, well, wait a minute, we'd have to pay him. We may want to bring back Iguodala. So I actually think Iguodala's situation complicates things for the Warriors on a couple of fronts. Another aspect of this is, as Gary St. Jean told us, if you're a contender and you might want to be interested in trading for Alec Burks, you're also interested in, well, hold on, Warriors, before we decide to do something with you, we want to make sure that we can't get Iguodala.
Yeah, I think he would be a domino that would need to fall ahead of other dominoes that eventually will
fall. I think
he'll
be back with Golden State next year.
I think he will. I think, I mean, look,
getting
I know
the band back together.
I know the Grizzlies are hoping somebody's going to trade a first-round pick for him. I mean, knowing the situation there, I wouldn't think there would be a team unless
I agree.
There's some desperation, unless you have a team that maybe loses a wing player in a similar fashion to, say, the way Dallas lost Dwight Powell, where it's like, hey, you need a guy, and you think you could actually really contend to get to a conference final or something like that. I mean, maybe you do it, where your team is good enough to where you can think, okay, for 1 year you can maybe not have a first-round pick. But I just don't think anybody would be willing to part with that.
Maybe it's just me, or perhaps I missed it. I don't think I did, but I'm a little disappointed that nobody on any of the shows that he was on today, nobody pinned him down and said, look, are you going to play? You're under contract. Don't you feel obligated to play? So are you going to play this year? What are you waiting for?
He's been on the court. He's feeling better. He's ready.
Fine, but are you going to play this year, Andre? I wish someone had pinned him down a little bit more.
He's Whitey Gleason. I'm John Dickinson. Believe it or not, that wasn't even the hottest thing that Andre Iguodala had to say.
What?
He had more to say about Stephen Curry and his situation. That was actually earlier in the day on First Take. We'll get to that coming up. We'll also have the call of the game as well as the Warriors lose tonight to the Pacers. Pacers beat the Dubs 129-118. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors wrap-up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason, we're back here inside Chase Center. Warriors fall to 10-37. It's still doesn't look right on the paper when you look at the box score and it's got the record 10-37.
Strange year produces some very strange numbers, and that may be the strangest of them all.
Yeah, no doubt. Warriors lose 129-118 to the next five on the road for the Dubs. We're talking about Andre Iguodala and his ESPN tour today as he was on First Take this morning. He was on The Jump in the afternoon. And the morning portion of his little junket, if you will, let's go ahead and hear from him as he had some thoughts on whether or not Stephen Curry should return this season.
Selfish reasons? No. I think he should. He hurt the left hand. You can't golf with the left hand if it's hurting. So I think he need to get a real break in terms of being able to relax. That long run is mental reasons, and Marshawn Lynch mentioned it. You got to get your mentals right.
Right, and you I think it's your chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got too much chicken. It's protecting itself.
He got magic.
But I think it's good for him mentally to be able to step away, be able to get a nice breather, and he's going to come back, you know, on a wrath next year.
All right, so a little golf joke. Left hand hurts your golf game if you're a right-handed golfer.
70% of your grip is your left hand, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For mental reasons, he's got to get his mentals right.
Right.
Get a little break. Count your chicken.
Well, as we said on the last Warriors wrap, that's the light at the end of the tunnel right now for this year, right, is when is Steph coming back?
Yeah, it is, and I think even more so because it's so unclear whether Clay is coming back or not. And I think at this point, I think if you took a poll of, hey, does Clay come back or not, I think most people would say, yeah, probably not. And he still could, but if he does, it's going to be for a very short period of time. With Steph, it's more, no, he's coming back. It's just
sure.
A matter of when. And look, I think, and Jim Barnett pointed this out on Warriors Live, you know, the thing that fails to get taken, you know, into consideration here, I think, by many is Stephen Curry wants to play. Like, he wants to play. Like, do you think Steph Curry wants to sit out healthy 25 games?
No, I don't.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, the Warriors have to do what's best for the franchise, of course. But I also think, look, Stephen Curry is the reason that the Warriors are what they've become here these last 5, 6, 7 years, right? He is the franchise. He is the system, as
yeah.
Kevin Durant once said. So you want the system to be happy and have some kind of a say in that. So if he says, guys, I want to play 20, 25 games and I'm healthy, I think you got to let him play.
Yeah. And when I say he's the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm not suggesting he's going to turn the season around, of course, but that will bring a new level of enthusiasm back to this year. And it'll also make, you know, next year and the return to respectability seem more real. But as we examine the Warriors and options, trade options, and whether or not they will bring in a superstar, I was thinking about that tonight watching Indiana. And, you know, Indiana was one of those teams that was forced to trade their superstar, right, with Paul George telling them a couple years ago, you might as well trade me because I'm not going to stay here and I'm going to go presumably to the Lakers at the time, although he didn't. So they traded him, and what a great trade they made getting Oladipo, who's hurt right now, and Sabonis. What's a great trade. They got a great return for Paul George.
Yeah.
Sabonis, as Steve Kerr talked about it, we heard that. Sabonis is amazing, and Oladipo is a two-time All-Star with him. He's not even playing right now. Indiana's really good, 31-16 now.
Yeah.
What a great trade that they made.
Well, they did a nice job, and if you look at what Oklahoma City did in trading Paul George, they did a nice job in what they got for Paul George, and they're holding themselves up as a playoff team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So
maybe it's somewhat of a cautionary tale. You can get superstars in your eyes, and they can blind you to you know, some smarter moves you could make. I don't know. Small market teams tend to be the ones trading away the superstars, but Indiana did a great job when they were in that position.
Well, and that's what you have to do if you are a small market team. You have to make sure that if you have a player like that you've drafted, or in the case of Indiana or Oklahoma City, traded for to make a little bit of a short-term run, you have to make sure that when you trade a player of that ilk, you get enough back to where you are going to be a good team in the aftermath of making that deal. I mean, it's the franchises that are in small markets that don't do that when they have a star
that
you're just wrecked. And, you know, I think Sacramento's an example of that. I mean, they had DeMarcus Cousins, and not that they were winning with DeMarcus Cousins, but they trade DeMarcus Cousins, and you look at what they have to show for that right now, and it's you know, Buddy Hield and
Buddy Buckets.
It's Buddy Hield and Harry Giles and Harrison Barnes for $90 million, you know, and a team that's 13th, I think, out of 15th in the West. So it's, you know,
they won tonight, though. Your Kings won tonight, though.
So it's just a matter of if you're going to make that move, and look, maybe it was time to move on regardless, and that's a bad example, but if you're going to make that move, you need to make sure that the players you get are core pieces that you can build at least a 45-win team with.
Well, with D'Angelo Russell, the Warriors have a guy who was an All-Star last year who is a tradable asset, but he's also a very young player. He's both of those things, right? He's not a veteran superstar. He's a young player on the rise, and I know that I've been critical of him, and I still don't see how he fits what the Warriors do necessarily, But he was phenomenal tonight, shooting the basketball. He had some defensive breakdowns, but he made some really nice passes too. But when he's feeling it like he was tonight, shooting the ball, taking shots, that when he lets them go, when he lets them fly, it seems like there's no way that's going in. And he shot very well tonight, 9 of 13 on his threes, 13 of 21. He put on an absolute show tonight.
Yeah, he definitely did, and he was one of the positives for the Warriors on this night. Let's get to the call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Russell off the screen. A 25-footer is good for D'Angelo Russell.
Woo! When he gets it rolling, it doesn't matter how far.
I don't know what planet he's on, but it's hot.
Perfectly timed call of the game right there. And if you know the call of the game and you listen tomorrow morning to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game with John Dickinson, yours truly, and Jim Cosimore tomorrow back. So we'll be missing you tomorrow.
I'll be on after you guys tomorrow afternoon on 95.7 The Game.
Be listening at 9:30 tomorrow, Warriors This Week. If you can correctly identify the call we just played, you'll win $50 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. The call of the game is brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. That's going to do it, Whitey.
Yeah, that was a near logo shot that he tossed in on that one.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting to see. Doesn't sound like he's going to be going anywhere at the deadline.
But I'll be watching.
Really interested to see how he finishes the year once Steph does come back. I'm intrigued by it, although I've been of the opinion that it's probably going to wind up being the Warriors looking to trade him at some point in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. If Steph comes back and it doesn't go well, you can, if you're another team, you can look at the Warriors and say, that doesn't work. So you actually could lose a little leverage, but I still think that's the smartest move is to hang on through the rest of the season.
All right, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank Tim Jordan for setting us up out here at Chase Center.
Yeah.
Nice job.
No, pretty nice. He did it not. Yeah. His plus minus was minus.
Yeah,
he was minus
four tonight.
Are you handing
out plus minus?
He was minus four tonight, and you know he's certainly
been
worse.
But that's pretty good for him. Yeah.
We couldn't do this without Tim.
Thanks to Ryan Mauser and Alex Scott back in our San Francisco studios.
Plus seven, plus nine.
Yeah, really, really solid job for Whitey Gleason. I'm John Dickinson. A couple of off days for the Warriors. An entire weekend off, Saturday and Sunday. They travel to Philly Monday as well. They'll take on the Sixers on Tuesday, and that'll do it. That'll be the Warriors and the Sixers right here on 95.7 The Game. That's going to do it. Fox Sports Radio is coming your way next. I will talk to you tomorrow with Warriors This Week coming up at 9 o'clock. Until then, keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.